Gazette. Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning. Welcome to Racing Across America on this Sunday morning. I am Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. As usual on a Sunday morning, we'll do some stakes recaps. We'll have a little handicapping. And again, an abbreviated show with Aqueduct having another morning start. They're going to kick off at 11:50 today, so their pregame will kick in at about 10:30-ish. So I'll wrap up in time that you can get to the pregame at Naira for this afternoon. Other notes for this afternoon, mentioned it when I was in here yesterday. The announcement came out early in the afternoon with the weather we've had here in the Albany-Saratoga area. Saratoga Harness canceled last night, and today, this afternoon, which was their closing weekend for the season. So season's over up at Saratoga Harness with the weather-related closure last night and today. They come back, I believe, in February. For the Sulky fans out there, no Saratoga Harness this afternoon. We'll stick a little Laurel in the mix instead. We'll also have some Gulfstream, Aqueduct, Oak Lawn today. So we should have some fun. But Saratoga Harness now done for the season. And also weather-related, Gulfstream is off the turf today. So make note of that as well. Off the turf down at Gulfstream on this Sunday afternoon, coming up a little bit later on. had some stakes action. You know, last week, this week, kind of quiet stakes-wise. Things will kick off next week, not next weekend, because next weekend, obviously, Christmas Eve, Christmas, so there'll be a little action on Christmas Eve, but Christmas nothing. But then, of course, the traditional day after Christmas, opening day at Santa Anita. So we'll get back into some high-level action with some grade ones out at Santa Anita to begin their meet. But otherwise, as I said, last couple of weeks have been a little quiet, but there's been some stakes action and some stakes action that was kind of fun and worth paying attention to, because it will certainly play into next season going ahead. And yesterday they focused on the New York Breds in four stakes races. The Bay Ridge kicked things off early. And Venti Valentine, excuse me, for me, was a tough read. Venti Valentine was just so spectacular last year as a two-year-old, and then again early in the three-year-old season this year. Subsequently, however, went to the Kentucky Oaks and tossed in a little bit of a clunk, 14th in the field of 14, and then was fourth in the Mother Goose, went back into State Bred Stakes Company and ran third and sixth. So again, Venti Valentine had that back class that had you thinking, well, I kind of have to have her in the mix. But what she'd done recently did not live up to her early form. But you can see here, back in form yesterday. She's number five horse here and makes a nice move to get to the lead and eventually cruises to a chart margin of just under four lengths at 2-1 as the second choice. Let Her Inspire You, the six, was the 4-5 favorite, and winds up running fourth with Know-It-All Audrey and Spongy running second and third. But Venti Valentine, Dylan Davis, Jorge Abreu bringing this one under the finish line in the Bay Ridge for State Breds, $100,000 up for grabs. And again, had started the career so nicely September of last year, broke the maiden in the career debut, then wins the Maid of the Mist, a state bred stakes race, then a second in the Demoiselle against Nest, and only a neck back. And then that was the two-year-old season, then comes back to begin the three-year-old season and wins the Busher and runs second in the Gazelle. All of that before, again, that dud in the Kentucky Oaks and the subsequent starts. You knew she had that class. It was just she hadn't gotten back to it yet. And so, as they say, she was a little bit of a tough read yesterday, but it looks like Venti Valentine now back in good form. And as I said, stakes races yesterday will certainly play into going forward in the new year. Venti Valentine on the verge when the calendar changes and all the horses have their, you know, virtual birthday. She will become a four-year-old New York bred filly. So back in form, she'll be fun to watch in the new year, certainly. A couple of New York Sire Stakes races as well yesterday at Aqueduct. Seventh race yesterday was a New York Stallion Series race for the two-year-old fillies, and I took a little shot with Force's Sweetheart coming out of a maiden debut victory down at Gulfstream for Safi Joseph. It was against maiden claimers, but open maiden claimers. This is a New York bred. Probably was going to have to step it up a little bit, but given the open length she won by in the debut, and that being the only start of the career, I didn't think it was out of the question that Force's Sweetheart may be able to step forward. She went off at 6-1 yesterday. The favorite at 6-5 was Le Bon Temps, who I had right underneath and said when I was in here yesterday, likely the one to beat. She was coming out of a win in the Maid of the Mist. So the Michael Maker trainee, Le Bon Temps, had the experience edge, the class edge. And she's going to get it done here. The number one horse comes up under Jose Lizcano, wins by just over a length. And again, she was the one. The betting public was on it. And when I handicapped, I said probably the one to beat. Force's Sweetheart was in the mix, but you can see that three chicklet fading back. She was the three. She was right up there early, but just got outclassed by this bunch with only the one start under the belt. You never know which way they'll go. But Le Bon Temps looking pretty good getting it done. It was career victory number three and career start number six. Now a couple of stakes victories in the last two starts. So again, two-year-old New York bred filly, who you would think has a nice future ahead of her. She started the career down at Churchill and broke the maiden against open company maiden specials at Churchill, then ran third in the debutante behind Wonder Wheel. Subsequently came to New York and has been facing state breds, and as I say, now has two state bred stakes races under her belt. And so having done well in open company early in the career, this is the kind of New York bred you'd love to have because, again, as the calendar turns in a couple of weeks and she becomes a three-year-old filly, they can pick their spots and go for some nice New York bred stakes, or certainly they will once again try open company going forward. So Le Bon Temps looking pretty good yesterday. Back-to-back stakes wins against the New York bred company. And again, this was actually a New York Sire Stakes race, so they didn't have to be New York breds, but I think both of the races, when I looked yesterday, they were legitimately all New York breds, and I think the latter Sire Stakes race was the same. In the Alex Robb, this one was for state breds, the Alex Robb, and this was a fun race. Seafoam was in here. Seafoam won this race last year for Michelle Giangiulio and Marcel Graham's 10 Strike Racing and Company. Some like it Hot Brown, the really talented New York bred millionaire was in. Barisi, who had looked pretty good as a three-year-old this year, won the New York Derby out at the Finger Lakes earlier. And the betting public wound up on, I was not convinced on Barisi. I went in other directions. Betting public used Barisi. I turned out to be right in this case as Barisi winds up sixth in the field of seven as the favorite. Barisi, the number five horse, Some Like It Hot Brown was disappointing as well, running last in the field, the number four horse. But the winner winds up being What Do You Think Now? I had that one right underneath. I used number three, Perfect Munnings, on top. That one will run third. Running second was the 10-strike Marshall Graham horse, Seafoam. The venerable seven-year-old runs a nice second, but a clear second, as a chart margin just over three lengths for What Do You Think Now? Dylan Davis on board again. So a nice stakes afternoon for Dylan Davis, having won the Bay Ridge earlier. Gets it done here for Rudy Rodriguez. What Do You Think Now? Career win number eight and career start number 19. The person here had to put this one over $500,000 in the bank in 18, not 19 starts now. So nice little performance for that one, 5 years old. So as I say, the venerable Seafoam at 7 years old runs very well, and the five-year-old gets it done in there. The Alex Robb taken by What Do You Think Now? And again, nice day for Dylan Davis, certainly, to pack a couple of stakes victories in the back pocket. The other New York Sire series was for the boys. And again, I'm pretty sure they were all New York breds in here, too. These New York Sire races, as I say, they don't necessarily have to be New York breds. They're New York Stallion Stakes, the New York Stallion Series, so they're New York Sires. I like Lifetime of Chances in here. The number eight horse for Linda Rice, who is a maiden, and there are a few maidens in here. Why not? $500,000 up for grabs as the purse. You think you have something live, take your shot. And Lifetime of Chances had a couple of starts, a couple of okay starts, a third, and then improved a little bit to run second. I thought could be primed for a nice effort yesterday afternoon. So I put number eight, Lifetime of Chance on top. But it was General Banker, the number four horse in here for Jim Ferraro. And after the race, his quote was something like, oh, that was a pretty nice Christmas present. And I think Grenig's article said this was the most lucrative win of his training career. Not surprising, $500,000 up for grabs. This is a pretty convincing victory. Eric Cancel on board, and he said, you know, they had come out of the last race, and Cancel had consulted with the trainer, and they kind of talked about the horse and making the horse a little stronger. And you know, Cancel said something at the race like, well, it all worked out, and it did. Better part of a $500,000 purse for the first victory in eight career starts. As I say, this was a race that had some maidens in here, and General Banker was one of them. Seven starts, so the most experience, in the field, had 3 seconds in those seven starts, which doesn't jump off the page as a super impressive record, 3 seconds in seven starts. But two of those second-place finishes were in the most recent start. So it seemed to be maybe moving in the right direction. And again, from reading the Grenig follow-up article in the Racing Forum, seems like, you know, the jock and the trainer consulted after the last start, and a little more work was done, and it all worked out as General Banker got it done. Ramblin' Wreck ran second, and the horse that I like, Lifetime of Chance, ran third. There was a first-time starter from Todd Pletcher, Laurel Valley, that seemed a little bit interesting in that they're taking a shot first time out of the box, but again, $500,000. Went off at 15-1, had a little trouble at the start, and wound up disappointing last in there. The favorite was Vacation Dance at 9-5. And that was one of those, we talked a little bit about it in the handicapper support yesterday. Vacation Dance had had 3 starts so far. They had all been very good. They'd all been on turf. So it's that time of year. And it's not only that time of year, it's $500,000 up for grabs. So you have a horse that's maybe better on turf, but they're $500,000 up, and you take your shot. Talked about this yesterday, though. I had Vacation Dance down at the bottom of my mix. just because had run very well, if the horse took to the dirt. But typically this time of year, I'm kind of against these experiments. And I don't know what, this probably wasn't so much an experiment. There may have been a little bit of that, but I think this was more, there was $500,000 up for grabs. But again, it was only turf form so far, so it's hard to get super excited. And again, 9-5 wound up 8th in the field of 11. Vacation Dance, again, as the favorite with General Banker getting it done. General Banker, by the way, a little over 10-1, $23 getting it done in the second of the two New York Stallion Series. And again, the two other stakes races on the day were for New York Breds, so it was a nice little focus on the state breds down at Aqueduct. And again, some horses that'll be fun to watch going forward, you would have to assume. Down at Oaklawn, a couple of stakes races yesterday afternoon in Arkansas, and kind of fun for those of us up here at Saratoga to see the Mary Lou Silks, the Eaton Blue and Brown Belt, as the Mary Lou Whitney stable sent out under the tutelage of Norm Cassie, sent out Pretty Birdie. And this one was coming off of a poor performance with some excuses in the victory ride at Belmont back in July. So there'd been a long layup, but there were some workouts that said the horse was probably coming back ready to roll. And that was the case in the poinsettia yesterday. It was number 7, Pretty Birdie, getting it done. Sarah Harper ran second. The favorite, Caribbean Caper, ran third. But it was a nice return to the races for, again, number 7, Pretty Birdie. Looked like the outside horse for a few strides there might have the momentum to make this a little bit interesting, but Pretty Birdie dug in and held off nicely, as they say, chart margin, a couple of lengths. 4-1, you got $10.60. David Cabrera on board for, again, Norm Cassie and the Mary Lou Whitney stable. There you see in the Mary Lou Whitney colors. So for those of us up here in Saratoga, that was kind of a nostalgic win down there, seeing those colors come under the finish line in the poinsettia. And again, both of the stakes races yesterday did have that holiday theme with the poinsettia. And a little bit later on, the tinsel. The poinsettia was for the fillies and mares, 3-year-olds and up, going 5.5. And as I say, a nice victory, nice gutsy victory, kind of not letting the late run from Sarah Harper get any closer than a couple of lengths late there under the wire. A little bit later on the card at Oaklawn, it was the tinsel, 3-year-olds and up, going a mile and an 8th. Interesting race. There were some horses in here, kind of like next-level stakes quality performers, horses like King Fury, who, boy, you go back last year when he won that Lexington, I thought he was going to be a fun 3-year-old to watch for Ken McPeak. Didn't quite live up to that. Bell Harbor for Robertina Diodoro, claimed the horse 2 back, came out of a third in the Thoroughbred Aftercare race at Keeneland. So there was some, as I say, stakes quality performers in here, probably at the next level down. But as we see him come down the stretch, it will be number 4, Bal Harbor, getting it done for Robertina Diodoro. Second year in a row he won this. Lone Rock, and if I read the follow-up articles correctly, Lone Rock won it last year off the same third place finish in the same race at Keeneland, the Thoroughbred Aftercare race. And so kind of an interesting year-by-year pattern for the trainer with two different horses. Last Samurai runs second for Dean Wayne Lucas. Nice second. Makes it kind of interesting here at the wire. And Scarlet Fusion runs third. The favorite was Run Classic for Brett Calhoun, and it wasn't shocking that one was the favorite, given that this horse had had a nice win at Keeneland 2 back with a triple-digit buyer. The follow-up at Churchill was a close-up second. The buyer went backwards a little bit. But again, that triple-digit buyer looked to be, you could assume that was going to be very attractive to the bettors, and that's the way it worked out, with Run Classic going off at 6-5, wound up 4th. In the field of 7, though. But a nice win. Chart margin was neck there for Bell Harbor, 7-year-old Bell Harbor. So we had some, don't know, I won't, middle-aged thoroughbreds yesterday running decently. Seafoam in New York, Bal Harbour, Seafoam with a good second, Bal Harbour with the nice win down at Oak Lawn. So we had a couple of venerable seven-year-olds, as I just mentioned, who ran well on the day, but there were also some two-year-olds taking attention at various venues across the country. And in Southern California, Los Alamitos, the Los Alamitos Thoroughbred part of the day, had the Futurity Grade 2 event for a couple $100,000. These are two-year-olds. There was a short field of five. Bob Baffert had three of the five. Most notably was Arabian Lion. And Arabian Lion had won nicely in debut at Santa Anita, then showed up at Keeneland on Breeders' Cup weekend and ran in an undercard race and took a lot of action and wound up second. But off of those two starts, John Velasquez out in Southern California to ride for Bob Baffert. And so off of those two efforts and with the connections, Arabian Lion, the number five horse, went off as the 2-5 favorite. That's him in the back of the pack. John Velasquez after the race said he just didn't want to run. On the front, though, it is Practical Move getting it done. Carmel Road second, Fort Bragg third. But this is a nice win, over three lengths. 10-1 is the second longest price on the board. Getting it done for Tim Yachtin, trainer, Ramon Vasquez, jockey. Practical Move. Interesting Practical Move. I won't say a maiden because if you look at the record, there is one win. But the horse had never come under the finish line first in the past. The one win was by DQ. So a little bit interesting there that Practical Move gets the first career under the finish line first victory in start number five in the Grade 2 Futurity. So nice little win. We'll see what happens with this one going forward. And try to follow up. As I say, there wasn't a whole lot that I saw on Arabian Lion last night other than John Velasquez said, you know, just did not seem to run. And at some point, he was kind of out in the back front of the pack, and he said when the other horses came to him, I thought he'd engage. Did not happen, and you saw in the stretch he was just not offering up anything and wound up last at 2-5 in the field of five. So a little bit disappointing for the Baffert runner and runners, as he had three in there, but doesn't take the top position. I read he had won 11 of the past Futurities. Not this year, however. Also, two-year-olds out at Remington last night. And let me just hit on some of the undercard races as well. I didn't call for replays for these, but Olivia Twist wins the trapeze for the two-year-old fillies. Goes out for Todd Fincher. I mentioned it before. Todd Fincher, a guy based kind of in the Southwest. And it seems like this year maybe branching out a little bit, but a higher percentage guy that probably is worth getting on your radar a little bit going forward. Todd Fincher brings in Olivia Twist off a 2-for-2 record at Remington and got it done last night in the trapeze. Went off as the 4-to-5 favorite, so lived up to the betting public's thought. That was the trapeze in the She's All In. It was Famed getting it done. Brad Cox runner, who nice little three-year-old filly. Again, kind of second level down. Started the career second place, finished on a win in the second start. This was last year. Then tried the Goldenrod and ran fourth. Back in optional claimer allowance races this year. Tried one stakes race at Pimlico and ran second. But overall, eight starts, three wins, couple of seconds, couple of thirds coming into yesterday. So now nine starts, four wins. So famed for Godolphin and Brad Cox, as I say, is a two-year-old and three-year-old filly, has been kind of a little bit under the radar, but has shown some talent. We'll see what happens with her again as the calendar turns. Famed getting it done in the She's All In. And speaking of venerable, nine-year-old Rated R Superstar gets it done in the Hawk Memorial, Jeffrey Hawk Memorial. Rated R Superstar for Federico Villafranco. 64 starts in the career as the nine-year-old gets career victory number 13. A little bit of a horse for a course angle here going into yesterday. Three starts at Remington, a couple of wins, and a second-place finish, but got it done yesterday in that Hawk Memorial. Rated R Superstar, again, another one of the venerable horses on the day yesterday who was a little bit interesting. Caddo River was the favorite in that race for Brad Cox. Wound up a little bit disappointing, sixth in the field of eight, but Rated R Superstar gets it done. And finally, did pull up the replay for the Springboard Mile, two-year-olds. This race over the years has had a little bit of a mixed bag as far as are these two-year-olds that we're going to watch going forward. So we'll see. But field of nine yesterday, it was kind of an interesting field of nine. Echo again for Steve Asmussen, who we saw up here at Saratoga look so convincing, just really smashing in the career debut, 20th of August. Then went down and tried the Iroquois in career start number two, was right in the thick of things early and wound up seventh in the field of nine. So that was a little bit disappointing for Echo again. Echo again was the 9-5 second choice yesterday. Giant Mischief took the action for Brad Cox. Debut victory at Indiana Grand, followed it up with some optional claiming company, a win at Keeneland, and did it with a 95 buyer figure. And again, two for two, Brad Cox, 95 buyer, justifiably the 4-5 choice. But Giant Mischief, the number five, runs second. Echo again, the number one, runs third. And it is Wild Atlantic Storm, 15-1, Remington-based, getting it done off a prep win in the Clever Trevor. Gets it done under Leonardo Goncalves and does it. Chart margin length and a quarter, and you can see there nobody's really threatening here late. 15-1, so you wound up with $32 there and a little bit of an upset in the Springboard Mile, as the name indicates, 1 mile distance. So it's an interesting late season two-year-old race. The two-turn mile out at Remington. Kind of a nice, again, salty little field in here with horses like Giant Mischief and Echo again and a couple others in here who probably will turn out to be okay going forward. But sometimes it's just interesting to take a look at the kind of the hometown heroes, so to speak, in these situations. And this Wild Atlantic Storm came into it 3 wins and 5 career starts, and now 4-for-6, and puts the better portion of the $400,000 purse in the bank to perhaps be an Iowa bred to keep our eyes on next year as a three-year-old. But as I say, overall, this race has had a little bit of a mixed bag as far as what happens when the winners or the performers in here turn three. So we'll see. Keep your eyes on those, however. Getting close. I was going to do some handicapping, but we'll save that for a little bit later on. I'll be back OTB Live in, about an hour or so or whatnot, because, again, NYRA will kick off today at 11:50. But let me hit a couple news and notes. Churchill, we talked a little bit about this yesterday when I mentioned the graded stakes committee and some graded stakes maneuvers. Churchill has requested that those Arlington Million Day Stakes be moved to Colonial this year, but keep their grades. And so the graded stakes committee said they hope to get together and make a decision on that before Christmas, so we should hear more about it. But the game plan is, and it's probably a good idea, because the one-day meet down at church, particularly with the Churchill Turf Course, was not optimal this year. But Colonial Downs, great turf course. They're in the midst of a meet when this happens. So they're looking to move the Arlington Million, the Beverly D, and the Secretariat to Colonial Downs, hoping to run on August 12th next year. So again, hopefully the Graded Stakes Committee gives that a thumbs up, because it seems like a good and a logical move to kind of keep those races intact, but find a suitable new home for them that works with the calendar as it is written. Fairgrounds, news came out, Marcus Hirsch in the Racing Forum yesterday, a couple days ago, that Fairgrounds is going to look for December 26th for the return of turf racing. And if you didn't hear at the beginning of the meet when they made this decision what the situation was, I will repeat. But Fairgrounds attempting to run turf races for the first time during the current meet, because when the meet started, there were pictures out there on social media where yellow patches and whatnot. And what happened, just a quirky situation with, the New Orleans area and really parts of the Midwest experiencing some kind of drought-like conditions this summer. The Mississippi level went down. That meant water from the Gulf of Mexico came up a little bit, got into some of the groundwater. The folks at Fairgrounds didn't realize this, were watering the course and subsequently doing so with salt water, which isn't a good thing. And so the course took a little bit of a beating. So they have not used the turf course, and that's going to help your field size and your handle. So we'll see what happens. December 26th, though, they're looking to return to turf racing at the Fairgrounds. So we'll keep our fingers crossed and wish the best for them, because you want the turf racing for the track to have a great meet, and for the trainers and the owners to get their horses where they want them and need them to be. All right, I'm going to wrap it up for Racing Across America as I look at my monitor on the wall with the four tracks around the loop that we'll be looking at today. There looks like anthem time at Naira, so they will shortly be doing scratches and changes and then move on to the pregame show for Aqueduct this afternoon. I'll be back in, as I say, probably about an hour or so to kick off things on OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. I'll look at some Aqueduct. I will look at some Gulfstream. I will look at some Oaklawn as well. Love the Oaklawn meet. Been having fun down there. Hopefully you have as well. I mentioned it earlier with the weather here over the past few days. Saratoga Harness canceled this weekend. That was the last weekend of their current year, the current meet. So no Saratoga Harness this afternoon, and they won't be back now until sometime in February, I believe. And also, do note, Gulfstream is off the turf today. So keep that in mind as you're handicapping as well. All right, I'm Seth Merrow. This has been Racing Across America for a Sunday morning. Really happy you took some time to join us. Stay tuned. Naira pregame show coming up next. Shortly after that, I will kick it off for an OTB Live for a Sunday afternoon. So we'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off Track Betting.